Good order doesn't exist for itself. We're not just an organization, Coaldale NB Church, and we're organized, structured, things in place. That's never been an end in itself, not with God. Nor is it of the utmost importance. These early churches had very little structure at the time. They built some of it in. They got organized in some ways. But it's never been the end in itself. Well, good, now we're organized. That might be a club, that might be some other things. That's not the Church of Jesus Christ. Good orthodoxy is absolutely essential. Believing the truth so we're not heading wrong directions. But it's not the final goal either. I believe right. Good, so do the demons and they shudder, says James. They shudder. It doesn't mean they've surrendered. They don't live differently because they know who Jesus is. Godly living is the end goal. Good living. Good orthopraxy. Doing good and avoiding wrong. Right? Colossians says, put off the old self. It's something we're adopted into when we receive Jesus. We receive that new identity. And it's a journey of living it out. We continue to put off the old self, take on the new self, doing good and avoiding wrong, and learning to do good together at the end of chapter 3. So we're going to walk through this. Godliness matters. Sometimes we can go, well, as long as we believe the right thing and we end it there. Right? And sometimes just only look at Titus when we're, here's the character of our elders. Paul speaks to every believer here. So let's look for a couple minutes at the greetings. How this ties, becoming agents of transformation. This isn't just supposed to end with us. So I'll do this briefly. There's 91 words in the ESV in this chapter, so I'll just expand on each word a couple minutes each. No, I won't. I'll just make a couple of points here. Paul first presents himself. He's the messenger. I forgot to bring my Bible up. I'm going to go get it. I didn't print out the verses. Hopefully you guys have your words with you, your swords. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, introduces himself as a servant. I'm the messenger. I'm not the end goal in me, in him. Pointing to another. He's the messenger. He's an agent of transformation, bringing a life-changing message. A servant of God. Right? That's a big difference. Before his Damascus Road appearance, he was a servant of Paul, a servant of what he believed to be true, a servant of other things, but he was not a servant of God. He was going his own way. He was religious in a lot of ways, but he hadn't encountered the risen Christ yet. And he's been transformed, and now it's his longing, and he understands this. It's his calling to help others be transformed as well. And he brings this message of transformation. And he brings this message to Crete, the Isle of Crete. In fact, he's gone on a bunch of missionary journeys, as a map will show here in a moment. Been on several. It's his passion that people encounter the real Christ as he is. And that's why he's writing this letter to the Cretans. You distorted in these areas, and it's destroying your life. It's destroying your witness. And so he's writing to them. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen, for the faith. Why is he writing? He's a messenger. And he's developing his missionary strategy here. He's unfolding this message And he's unfolding it to Timothy, who's to pass it on to others and bring some structure. Timothy, Titus, thanks. I hardly heard my wife there correct me, but I could read her lips. Titus. Timothy's the books just before this. And it's for their faith. For their faith. Listen to some of this. For the faith of God's elect. God has a people in this world whom he has chosen for himself. There is elect ones, chosen in love before the foundation of the world to be God's own special possession. Here in verse 1, Paul is telling us that his ministry as a servant of God and as apostle of Jesus is for their faith. Their faith. Faith is essential, right? Those who believe in Jesus is who he's writing for. Those who transformed by the power of God. Jesus is who he says he is. He makes us who he says he makes us to be, whether we believe it or not. And it's for faith. And Paul is thinking here in his ministry about bringing God's elect to faith. Get the invitation out so that all people can hear. There is certainly a key. This is certainly one of his aspects of an apostle of Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel, both to Jews and Gentiles, so that among them whom God had chosen might come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's debate, you know, who's the elect and whatever else. We don't need to concern ourselves overly with that. We're to get the message out and let God draw those. God, whoever is willing to respond, it's a both and. He calls and we respond. Now, you might be wondering why I have a piece of rope here. I've done this illustration before, but I want to do it again. I'm trying to figure out who's the youngest person actively in the service that didn't go down for children's church. Do we have anybody in that age range, age 3 to 6, that stayed up here? If you're age 3 to 6, show yourself. No, raise your hand or something. How about a 7-year-old? A 7-year-old here who would like to come and help me? I'm going to put a condition on it. 8-year-old. Tatea, would you like to come and help me? All right, I'm going to hold this end because it's got a cute little green end on it. Can you take that and just walk, let it unravel? Walk down this aisle, go out and around there, and then come back in. Thanks. You can just kind of hold it and trace it. You can run with it if you can, if you can make it unroll. I wonder if you just grab this and slide it through your hand, will it unroll? Yeah, I don't know. It should pull out of the middle there. Or if you can find the other end of it, yank on it. Sorry, I gave you a harder task than I got a brand new rope, and it's tangling up. Well, Larry helps there. Thanks. I'll do that illustration in a minute. He's concerned that people come to faith. Faith is essential, and it's not essential in faith itself or faith in if I believe hard enough. This is faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. He is who he says. He's the creator of all that exists. He loves us dearly, so much so that he gives himself for our good. This is the faith we need. And it's a transforming faith. Like I said before, earlier, it's not just the demons believing the right thing. Wow, he's the Son of God. It's not your time yet. And they shudder. Thank you. Excellent. Does it end there? That's perfect. You can just, sure, yeah, thanks. You can just drop it there on the floor. See this little green piece where I put the tape on it? There's a Francis Chan illustration, but that's your life. Doesn't matter if it's 20 years. I've done funerals for those who are 20 or less. Doesn't matter if you're 80, 95, 102, whatever we get to, there is your life. This is just a little picture, but we would need a longer piece and we could keep going around for eternity. Paul's writing this because the whole purpose is to receive this incredible message that our eternity, yes, starting right now, wherever we're at in our lives, can be transformed. It can be changed for the better. Not getting whatever we want, but getting what God desires for us, His best, receive forgiveness, promise of eternal life, and forever be transformed and changed. We all have an eternity. It's either going to be spent with God and enjoying fellowship with Him and those who love Him, or we're going to be spending eternity separated from Him and separated from all those who love God, separated from anything good. Can you imagine that? And this is the purpose. He says, your life and witness is hindered. And he's writing this for the faith of God's elect. That they would come to faith. They would understand who Jesus is. Receive his gift. Become new people. Once you are not a people, now you are a people, as Peter says. He's writing to a group of people. Yes, we do it individually with a choice, a response, and we do it corporately. We learn and we live, and for eternity we are transformed. See, because he's not just writing that we would come to faith, but Paul's concern was not just that they begin a faith, which is vital, but he wanted their faith to increase, that they would grow in that relationship of faith and be transformed in an ongoing way. I want to reread these verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords, leads to, builds, it lines up with godliness in hope of eternal life. Eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. And at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. He says he's been given this amazing message. Timothy, don't forget this. I'm writing to Timothy about this amazing God who never lies, which is dramatically different than Zeus or any other god. Never lies about a life of transformation and how you can become agents of transformation in your community. So he's the messenger. He has a missionary strategy. Pass this message on, point people to Jesus, and then he moves on. He's also the mentor. He's writing to Timothy, verse 4, to Titus. I keep saying Timothy. To Titus, my true child, in a common faith. Common faith because it's the same Jesus. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Jesus. Though people distort that, teach all sorts of things. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Come to this faith, a transforming faith. Let it flow through your lives. And it starts with getting organized. Get organized enough, Titus. Put things in place. Put elders in place. But that's for the purpose of mission, for the purpose of living it out. We've been working on this as Coaldale MB Church as well. We are followers of Jesus that seeking to glorify God. Followers of Jesus, if we can go a couple slides forward, to seek to glorify God. We follow Him. We don't head our direction, hey, bless this, God. We follow Him. We learn how to follow. That's the life of faith. We put our faith in Him that where He leads, we will go. It's a life of faith. And it's for their faith. Not only coming to faith, but living it out, as I said. We want to learn more and more how to follow Jesus, bring glory to God. And then we have this ministry framework of experience God. engage in biblical community, and equip for kingdom service. These three things fit together. Experience God personally. And as we are increasingly experiencing God, we invite others into this journey. We invite others to personally experience Jesus, wherever they're at, whether they know Him or don't know Him, whether they've come to faith or not, to experience more of Him. This needs to impact everything we do as a church. And we engage in biblical community, not safe relationships, not at arm's length. Biblical community is really allowing people into our lives. We confess our sins one to another. We need to learn how to do that better, I'm convinced. We need to be real with who we are, not put a mask on and say, hey, everything's good. There's no perfect people. Let's not pretend there is. We engage in biblical community. We're on journey. I need to know your weak areas because it inspires me. It helps me. I need to know your strong areas because, again, it helps me, inspires me. You need to know mine. We need to come together as a people of God, bowed before Him, and become a truly biblical community. And we're called as a congregation to equip for kingdom service. Help people be agents of transformation. This is why Paul's writing this letter. Yes, organized orthodoxy is all important, but it needs to lead to orthopraxy, us living it out, us having an impact. Jesus came for what? People would know Him, would learn to love Him as He really is. Came not to condemn the world, but to seek and to save the lost. How can His body do something other than that? We've got to be concerned about people's eternity. If we help them in this life, what have we really done? It's got to fit together with the gospel of good news that brings transformation, yes, in this life, and for eternity. We have to have that concern for people. And everything we do, every class we teach, needs to flow out of this. Every Sunday school teacher, we're followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God, helping each student in our classes experience God personally, not just know about Him. Orthodoxy is important. And live it out. Orthopraxy is important. We are messengers. We have an incredible message. Our methods, we have some things going on, and we need to increase our mentoring. I said this before, but the healthiest people I know have somebody, a coach, a mentor, all sorts of people speaking into their life that is a little farther down the road. And we need a bunch of mentors, people that we learn to do life with, that we are on similar spaces. Often small groups form around that. In fact, small groups often start up in the fall. You have a desire. I need to do life better. I want to follow Jesus more accurately, align with His will for me. And I want to meet together with a group of people that will inspire me, keep me accountable, where I can invest in them and they can invest in me. We want to do small groups. If you want to start one, start inviting a few groups of few people together. I'll meet with you. I'll help you start. There's lots of kinds of small group. We're not in a position right now to go, hey, we've got these 8 leaders. If you want to join one of these leaders, we're not there right now. Some groups are restarting here in a few weeks, as soon as harvest is done probably. But there's others that want to do a journey, becoming the people of God, becoming agents of transformation. And it's not up only the organization to say how that happens. We'll help you. We'll be resources. Start small groups. Let's dive in together and work together. That we would equip one another to have an impact. We should be having a greater impact here in Coaldale. It doesn't mean we go out and live like everything that goes on in our society either. That's not what Paul was calling the Cretans to through Titus. He was saying, be engaged, though, engaged in such a way that, what, you're salt and light, you're different. But we can participate in all sorts of ways. But we become the transformation, the agents of transformation, not them changing us so much, but the God changing them through us. Here's the introduction. Here's the swing. There's your life on the floor. No, I'm just kidding. What an invitation to this short letter. I've only been doing it a few number of weeks here. We've got it divided up already, and we'll dive into another series come the end of November. But would you join me in prayer that we would be transformed by the power of the risen Lord, and He would flow through us, and we would see other transformation around us, through us, because we are His called ones. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank You for this letter to Titus. You write to encourage him because he's facing all sorts of untruths, both within the congregations and from without. We face challenges from within our congregations and from society, God. We need Your Spirit to lead us, to transform us. We need right orthodoxy, right belief, who You are. Would You continue to help us grow in that? Would You help us organize to a degree that is helpful? Get things in place that help our ministry leaders do what You've called them to do and help us live in our society, that we would equip one another. We would be faithful to what You've called us to do and who You've called us to be. And God, I pray for transformation. I pray for people and families and groups to come to faith. And like Paul, not only to come to faith, but to grow in the faith. God, You call us to be disciples who make disciples. Would You lead us, God? Transform us. Awaken us where we're sleepy. If we are unaware of eternity, awaken us. If we have a misunderstanding of what You're hearing, what You're saying to us, God, clarify our thinking. That we would experience the truth that sets free. We would be transformed, so much so that You would transform Southern Alberta and around the world through us, for Your glory and for Your sake. We pray. Amen.